The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have something on tape today that I did with Jordan Hamm and Sarah Cazell. So Jordan, as many of you know that watch our platforms, has been a part of Sports 360 through the years with recruiting roundup and most recently switching over to cover the college side of things. Sarah Cazell does the morning sports banter with Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM. Jordy and Sarah are getting married on Saturday. And whenever something really good happens in our company, I mean, like, this is really cool. You know, I have to have them on. Plus, it's two sportscasters. Like, how's this going to work? You know, because sports, you're working nights, weekends, and holidays. Sarah's got to get up in the middle of the night to go do her thing. Jordan's running around. So, you know, how do they make it work? And we're just going to chop it up and screw around with two of my favorite people around the Valley sports scene. And one of them, of course, is part of our family. And now they're both going to be part of our family. That will be with Jordan and Sarah. Brett Hundley today from Madrid. So we've had the World Traveler on. That's his nickname because he just takes off when the football season is over. He was with the Colts this last season. Oh, he's going to keep playing. He was in the locker room with Kyler Murray. Did he see things that were concerning? We'll have Brett Hundley on. He also has some charity work that he's doing next month that he wanted me to work in, and we will because we like Brett a lot. I've known that dopey kid since he was over at Chandler High School. So Brett Hundley and Sarah and Jordan, Jordan and Sarah coming up here at 10:20. We take this earlier in the week with them. What's going on in the world of sports? Well, there's a lot. Brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi, his staff, and their ongoing support. Last night was one of those games that the Suns are going to have through the course of an 82-game season. Having done this show through the years and all the dark days when the team was just awful and miserable, most nights are going to get their heads kicked in, we knew it. We knew it was going to be a loss. Now, most every night, it should be a win, right? Last night it was Houston. It's Houston at the end of the first half of the season. Houston's awful. They have 15 wins. The Suns, you know, they've been playing consistent basketball, but you're going to have those nights where not everything flows. Chris Paul got tossed from the game, which, you know, he bumped the official. Okay, I can't sit here and split hairs and all that stuff. Chris Paul doesn't need the miles on his legs in a who cares game in February against the Rockets because that's what it was. And yet the Suns found a way to win. When we look back on the season, we're not going to say, hey, man, you remember that night where they had to struggle with Houston? If anybody does that, then they're just reaching. They're just grabbing. They're just hoping to come on to something. More importantly, the Suns are now off until February 24th. Yeah, Chris and Devin and Coach Williams are going to go to the All-Star game and do all the All-Star stuff, and they should go celebrate. The NBA, smart, take some time away. Of the All-Star games, I used to think that Major League Baseball had the best of the All-Star games. And then, not so much. Maybe it's because baseball is faded in our sporting society because they can't get it figured out. Maybe it's just for me because the team here is so bad and has been so far off the radar in a division where you can't be that bad. The NFL's always been a joke. Anybody, like, social media the day of the Pro Bowl was, oh, I can't believe how bad this is. Really? It's been dog squeeze for years and years and years and years. Anybody who watches that needs to get a book and go on a date and get a social life. They do. If you find entertainment value in the Pro Bowl, really? The NBA All-Star Game's fine enough. They're not going to play any defense. They do some screw-around things. They have some fun. You know, the NHL All-Star Game, it's fine. I wish our hockey team here could figure out where they're going to live, where they're going to play, and where the owners. It's always something. It's always something with the Coyotes, just like Arizona State, always something university. So, you know, I'm not one to sit there and say, man, this weekend I've got to watch. I'll watch some. Yeah, I'll watch some. But I'm just pleased as punch. There's an old school term. I'm just pleased as punch that we have a team that goes out and performs and plays, and especially with all the nonsense and drama that's going on around our pro football team here in town, around Kyler Murray. I don't think that most of you want that type of drama. I don't. I think most of you would like a team that went deep into the playoffs and was trying to get to the Super Bowl. I think most of you would prefer to see what's going on, like, with the Suns. So, it's just how I see it. And I wrote further about this over on the website at sports360az.com. Hey, I want to talk to you about DraftKings for a minute. The pro basketball and hockey seasons are in full swing. New sportsbook customers can bet a buck on the money line and win $150 in free bets if their pro basketball or hockey team wins, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how you do this offer. You go to DraftKings sportsbook account, sign up, make your first time deposit of $5 or more, place a $1 wager on your basketball or hockey team, and if they win, it's $150 in free bets. $150 free bets. All you have to do is use the promo code SPORTS360 to claim this offer. SPORTS360, that's SPORTS, the number 360. Act now. This offer will not be around forever. Tonight down in Tucson, you have the U of A. U of A is one of those stories that we have to start paying closer attention to. They're ranked third in the nation. They have good victories. They may be the lowest of the one seeds if they continue on this pace. I thought for sure that there'd be a stumble or two. They should take care of business tonight against Oregon State. That will be in Tucson. Bobby Hurley's team, they had a gutty, gritty win over Washington. They beat UCLA. So they have some things going for them. They're trying to get this thing figured out and turned around. They are home to Oregon tonight. Number one seed Gonzaga won last night over Pepperdine. And Aaron Donald said, let's run it back. Of course Aaron Donald said, let's run it back. Remember when Tom Brady was on the boat last year throwing footballs and they had to like kind of escort him out? I don't know Aaron's state of mind yesterday. It's a victory parade. It's a victory celebration. You can always say, you know what? I'm too well to attend. What someone says in a victory celebration in February versus what they're going to say around, in Aaron Donald's case, around May, June, you know, he's so good. If you're a Cardinal fan, like, oh, this is great news. Or, no, it's not great news. I would think that if you're a Cardinal fan, you're like, you don't want him to run it back. Because Aaron Donald just chewed up, spit out, and destroyed the Cardinals this year. No other way to put it. All right, the Hams. The Hams are coming up next. Sarah Cazell and Jordan Hamm, we taped this earlier. And then Brett Hundley from Madrid will be with us. We'll chop it up with Brett. That is all straight ahead. Jared Nielsen is the chairman of the board. If he screws up, it's his. If this show gets screwed up, it's his fault. I screwed up just then, so it's my fault. We're back with the Hams next. The pro basketball and hockey seasons are in full swing. New sportsbook customers can bet $1 on the money line and win $150 in free bets if their pro basketball or hockey team wins, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. DraftKings, make sure you get over there. Here's how you claim the offer. Sign up for a DraftKings sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $1 wager or more on your basketball or hockey team. If they win, you win $150 in free bets. It's pretty simple. Just use promo code SPORTS360, okay? SPORTS360, sports with an S, 360. To claim the offer, again, SPORTS360, act now. This offer ends soon. All right, as promised, it's the Hams, sort of, maybe, kind of, we build up towards Saturday. Sarah Cazell, who you hear over on 98.7 FM, occasionally shows up on the Pac-12 Network. Occasionally, she shows up on the sidelines. It's something U of A related. Jordan Hamm, you know him as the recruiting roundup. He completely over-recruited in this case. He outkicked his coverage. These two are getting married on Saturday. How did this happen, Sarah?
How did we decide to get married?
Yeah, I mean, where was the moment? What was the attraction to the guy next to you? When did this all begin? Take us back to remember when.
Yes. Okay, I'll take you back to day one, Brad. Actually, Jordan ignored your orders one day. Only this one time, though.
Oh, no, I've been living my life since then.
In 2015, what was it? August of 2015, when ASU football was at Camp Tonizona heading into the 2015 season, I was there for a different publication in town that I had just started with. And so I didn't really know anybody. You know, I'm from Phoenix, but I hadn't worked in Phoenix since I was an intern in college. So I didn't really have any peers. And so I get to Camp T that early, early morning, and I'm scanning the sidelines, just looking for a couple faces that looked friendly and like they wouldn't mind me posting up next to them for 4 or 5 hours, because those Camp T days are long days.
Yep.
So I scanned the sidelines. I saw this face and I saw Ralph Amsden's face. So, wow. How about
I made a poor decision
and I made a poor decision to stand next to these two for 4 to 5 hours. And that was my introduction to Jordan. And we didn't exchange numbers or anything that day because we kept it professional, Brad. But I definitely left thinking like, well, that was interesting. That's an interesting guy.
And this was through Ralph. This was through Ralph that made the introduction. You didn't know Jordan at all.
No.
Ralph takes a lot of credit.
Yeah. I didn't know Ralph either. Ralph loves to say that he introduced us, but I met Ralph that day too.
Okay. And so you're standing there next to this guy and you're watching Camp Tanazona. You had just left the Pac-12 network, right?
That's right.
So you'd come down from San Francisco and here's this dude. And he's, what was the attraction during the day? Was he knowledgeable? Was he funny? Was he, what was it that left, you left like, oh, that's kind of interesting. What was the attraction?
It was definitely the sense of humor. I mean, I noticed the cute face and I noticed the butt, Brad, as we all do when we first meet Jordan. I did notice it, but it was definitely the sense of humor, the quick wit, he's very smart, very, very fast. And I was very interested in that.
Oh, wow. Very fast. So Jordan, how fast did this turn into something?
Actually, not that fast.
not fast that way.
Yeah, we didn't officially start dating until mid-November. But we had a lot of Todd Graham and Mike Bercovici press conferences that we sat through together. And whenever there was a lot of coach speech, we kind of just look over each other and kind of roll our eyes. And then that developed into let's keep track of how many times Mike Bercovici says excited. And then that turned into why don't we for each time he says it, why don't we go get a beer? And that would turn into us potentially killing ourselves because he said it a lot. But yeah, then what was it? It was like late October. We hung out for the first time and then that's when things really got in motion.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had nothing to do with the cute butt, right?
Sarah? Nothing.
Nothing at that point. It just had everything to do with the beers. And
she always let me in the elevator first, which now that makes sense.
No reason. Don't worry about it.
They are getting married this Saturday, which we are very excited for. We love them both and what they do. But I want to focus in on the process now. You guys are going into a space where there are people that get married that are sportscasters. It's happened often because you just end up spending so much time together. Or people just in the media business. Mark McClune, April Warnicki, you know, Dan Hicks and Hannah Storm. We can go all the way back and through. You guys talked about this at all or visited with people? Like, we're going to take the next step. And how do you balance all that stuff?
I feel like, especially since us moving in together the past couple of years, we've kind of already had to navigate that. And thankfully, I think our hours aren't as aggressive as maybe other people. You know, the late nights don't happen as often. Yeah, those will pop up here and there. And Sarah has incredibly early mornings.
I was going to say, is 3:30 a.m. not aggressive enough for you?
That's aggressive.
What I was going to say, we see more of each other since you made the change.
It's true.
She was working afternoons. So
get a full day with you now.
Yeah. So her days are really long, but yeah. We see a lot of each other.
Yeah.
Have you guys been out yet and someone recognizes either one of you and wants the autograph, the picture, or I listen to you or I watch you?
You remember New Year's a couple years ago? It wasn't her face. It was her voice that someone recognized because of radio. And we got a room upgrade out of that. So that was cool.
At a hotel. Shout out Ryan in downtown Phoenix. Yeah, that was awesome. And then we were talking about how funny that was at the restaurant we went to that night. And the bartender who was serving us was like, I listened to that show. I love that show. So that was a pretty cool moment. I would say it doesn't happen all that often. When I'm down in Tucson for U of A football games, I'll get, you know, when I'm walking through campus, I'll get more people stopping me then. But in Phoenix, not a ton. It has picked up a little bit, but obviously with the pandemic severely limiting how much we're out and about, at least, you know, in the past year or so, it hasn't happened a bunch.
I feel like if I get recognized, it's usually like a dad that has a high school aged football player and is, I keep track of your stuff. Hey, look out for number 55.
And I'm going to send you his tape.
Yeah. And that sort of thing. So
How do you guys separate sports and just living life? It's both. You have a great sense of humor. You both have a great laugh. You both have a, I'd say, a carefree. And Sarah, I haven't spent that much time around you, but just from a distance, you have a carefree, life is great type of thing in the moment. But how do you stay away from the sports part of it?
Do we stay away from the sports part of it?
I think we do a good job mixing it, but it's not like we're like, all right, we're putting this off to the side. Yeah. But it's also not something that consumes our day entirely. Like there are times that we'll look at each other, you know, at the end of a long NFL Sunday and say, do we really need to watch this Sunday night game? Probably not. Let's pop on Netflix or something like that. So, the thing is, we like to talk a lot. So we talk a lot of sports, but we also talk a lot of other things too.
Yeah. I mean, like scrubbing Kyler Murray's social media account as a dinner conversation for the two of you. Does it go down that path where it's like, you know what, let's talk about X, Y, or Z?
I think we will touch on the big stories of the day if it feels important enough for us to talk about. Like if it is notable or breaking news, we will, but we won't spend the time going in depth on it like we would with our colleagues or at our jobs or even just other friends, because I don't know, I think we're able to pretty quickly get to the meat of what we find interesting and we cover it.
Yeah.
And then we move on to whatever the next thing is, be it the Netflix show that we're watching, or one of us goes to, you know, work out or run an errand. It's a very efficient sports conversation process.
We had I had Vernon Lundquist on, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, about a year ago. He'd written his memoir and I was saying, what's the key to it? And he's with him and his wife. And he said, we have friends, a lot of friends that don't know anything about sports and we like hanging out with them.
Yeah.
We can actually just let our guard down a little bit and just chill. And that was really smart, like to have yourselves in a space where not everybody wants a piece of you and says, hey, what do you think about the Suns run? Or what do you think about this player over at Pinnacle High School?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that, for sure. I know a lot of times when we'll go to either my family or her family's, it's a lot of times some of the early topics of conversation are, so what's going on with U of A? So what's going on with this? So what's going on with that? So once we can kind of cut through that, it's really nice. But yeah, I think it has been good. I think we found a pretty good balance, especially I think this last year of trying to balance it out a little bit more. And it's not always the best at it, but we certainly try just to, yeah, we're going to go to a concert and like, not look at our phones. We're going to, you know, go see a movie that has nothing to do with sports and not look at our phones.
I think the thing too is people who don't work in sports assume that those who do work in sports only care about sports and don't have other interests, where that's definitely not the case for us. We are obsessed with trying new food, like different breweries around town. We love going to shows. Like we have, you know, comedy and music. We have a lot of different interests where, yeah, we love to go to a Mercury game or a D-backs game, whatever time permits, but that's not the only thing that we like. So it's not that tough for us to turn it off and kind of put it away for a day or two.
And you're in an industry where change is norm, you know, it's the ownership changes. Fortunately, Sarah, you haven't been through that over at Bonneville. They're a terrific company, but you have management changes. You have just the industry changing as a whole. And to find that space as you two are going down this next step, I think would be, I don't know if you guys have had this conversation or not, but like vital to make sure let's stay balanced and not just be 24/7 on the sports front.
Yeah. And I think even the past couple of years, the priorities have shifted a little bit and we've been able to, you know, it's the running back, the Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night isn't the most sustainable.
It's and a Jordan so, Hand special.
And so trying to find those ways of, okay, let's prioritize our time. And, you know, at the end of the football season, when we had our conversation about me more shifting over to college, it was more realizing there's only 24 hours in the day. And if we're going to go pursue something, let's go pursue something and not go try to do eight different things. So I think, and again, with the, I think the pandemic, that's kind of forced us to figure out like what exactly we really want to do and that sort of thing. So I think that that's been a silver lining of the last year and a half.
Do the two of you have aspirations to be national?
That's a good question, Brad. I think it depends what the job is. That's how I've always felt for me. I don't want to be national just for the sake of being national. And I got a little taste of that before the pandemic with USA Today Sports and absolutely adored that job and that role and what it had me doing. But with the pandemic, our whole team got cut and was never brought back. So that was a huge disappointment in the early part of the pandemic, on top of all the other things that were going on in the world.
Right.
So I would love to get back to a role like that, be it with USA Today Sports or someone else, but not just so I can stroke my ego and say, oh, I'm a national voice. It's got to be something that I truly care about, truly enjoy doing. Because at this point, at least in my career, it is no longer about, ooh, what job makes me look the biggest or the best or the coolest? It's only about what feeds my soul, what makes me happy when I wake up. And if that gets to be on a national platform, let's do it.
That's awesome. That's a great way to put it. Candlestick holders. Do you guys have them yet? I've been working on this. Do you have placemats? Do you have, you know, Sports 360? We were looking through the registry and we have some things, but you know, what was it? We had Catherine Fitzgerald on a couple of weeks ago, Jordan, you and I were there. It sounds like she's taking the most unique gift. So I'm going to be left out in the cold. I can't compete with her. There's not a chance.
None of us. She has a collection of just, I feel like every time I would see her at the Cardinals, it would be like, look at this new vintage jacket I found that's 18 different colors, but looks awesome. And I was scouring the internet at 2 a.m. So that's why when I said she could go off registry, it's not going to be boring. It's not going to be you know, a gravy boat. It's going to be something, you know, a gravy boat that
has gravy
fireworks or something. Yeah. Yeah. So,
although if anyone did buy us a gravy boat, thank you. We love it.
You guys left out one important ingredient in all this with Ralph. So as Paul Harvey would say, what's the rest of the story with Ralph and your wedding?
You want to tell?
So Ralph is going to be doing this dang thing. So he's going to be the officiant. And he was, when we were debating it, it was a very short conversation or figuring out who it was going to be. It was, what about Ralph? Yeah, that's perfect. He was there from minute one and has remained close to us, even though he's across the country now. And when we asked him, he was super honored. And I guess he's coming out of officiant retirement to do it for us, which was pretty cool. But he did say he's like all seven weddings he's officiated, all of them are still together. So he's like, I got a good hit rate. So
we love those odds. Yeah.
So basically, don't screw it up.
You're not going to rehearse with him. You have no idea what he's going to ask you, or are you giving him vows?
We're going to write our own vows. He asked a couple questions that we have sent info over for, but we have not seen a rundown or a script or anything.
All right.
Which is how we roll, Brad. I think, we're all best off the cuff anyway.
That's it. Sarah.
Why would we change the formula?
People want to know these things that listen to you and watch you too. That's it. Here's this couple, this local couple that is saying, hey, let's do this. Let's take it to the next level. And we're super excited for you guys. And I'm pretty honored that you would let me open up you guys like this. So
you didn't hold back.
All right. Get out of here. I love you guys. See you on Saturday.
Okay. Love you too, Bradford.
Bye.
There's Jordan and Sarah, the hams, as we'd like to say. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, whenever we have Brett Hundley on, it's like he's the world traveler. You are, this is the former Chandler High Wolf, the former UCLA Bruin, the former Arizona Cardinal quarterback, the former NFL quarterback now into his off season. Where are you going to play next year after you tell us where you are? Tell us where you are first.
So right now I'm actually in Madrid, and it is beautiful. It's a little chilly out here, but I just got out here a couple hours ago, and I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying this off-season trip that's been going on.
Yeah. Who are you with this time?
Man, I'm with an amazing, amazing person dear to my heart, Khadija. We actually went to Chandler together.
Is that right?
Chandler High School, yeah. So we're out here. We actually been taking this like 7-country tour, and we have been like all over the place. So
where is all over the place?
We have been Dublin, Paris, Madrid, Barcelona, Vatican, that's a country, so we count that. Rome, and Rome. Am I missing one?
Yeah, get your assistant.
No, I think. Huh? Barcelona. No. Yeah, Barcelona.
Got Barcelona. I think I said that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we've been all. Yeah. No. That's it. Yeah. We've been all over the place, man.
Most interesting thing you've eaten on this trip?
This trip, I haven't done nothing crazy. I haven't tried nothing too off the wall. Probably the most interesting thing I've eaten
or drank or sipped or tried.
I've drank a lot.
Coffee, water.
It's all been like the traditional, you know, things. Oh, you know, actually, one of the coolest things I did when we were in Dublin, Ireland, we first went to the Guinness factory. I had a Guinness there, and then we went to the Jameson factory, and I had a bottle of Jameson.
A Jameson.
But that was right. Now to say I've had a beer, you know, a Guinness in Dublin was probably one of the cool bucket list things I could say.
Oh, that is awesome. Brett Unley with us for a couple of minutes. You have an event coming up. I want to get to that and then all the football stuff. So,
So
the event, it's March 13th. Why don't you just walk people through what your event is? Because we have enough lead time now. We've got less than a month, but what's your event on the 13th?
So we got for my foundation, we have an event. It's called the Lace 'em Up for Epilepsy Walk for Arizona. We do one in Las Vegas as well. But this is our first one in Arizona, and we want to kick it off with a bang. It's at Rio Vista Park, March 13th. Check-in is at 9 a.m. Opening ceremony, 9:30. Walk begins at 10. It's like a mile and a half.
Okay.
So it's not going to kill anybody. Everybody can get out there, get a nice little walk on. It's going to be beautiful temperature. It's not going to be burning hot. The foundation, the Huntley Foundation, is dedicated to improving the lives of children and families in need. And this walk is really going to help us with the initiatives for epilepsy in Arizona that we want to start supporting and doing. So this is sort of like our first kickstart for having the group come out and show support for it.
And epilepsy is near and dear to you because of?
Yes. For everybody who doesn't know, my sister was diagnosed with epilepsy when she was about seven, I was about six. And my nephew, Elijah, Squishy, I call him. He was diagnosed with infantile spasms, which is a form of epilepsy. And so this is really how the foundation got started. And we do a lot more than just epilepsy, but our core of what we do is because of epilepsy. So it's a huge thing for me, and not only myself, but obviously everybody, you know, who has a story and we've heard from, and then, you know, my sister and my nephew.
Okay. And that is March 13th. We'll plug this again for people that aren't aware of it as we continue on. Brett Hundley is with us from Madrid, Spain for a couple of minutes. You do this every year. You decompress after a season, right?
Yeah. Every year, usually once the season is done, because we spend so much, I mean, we give so much time to it, but I always try to plan a multi-country trip, and it'd either be during this time, usually twice a year. So this, right after the season is done, I'll head out, and a lot of these travels too, man, I'm telling you, it's so sporadic. Sometimes I don't even know where I'm going until like the day before. Until the day before. I mean, I don't check bags. I just go and sort of see where the wind takes me or where the next cheapest country is to fly to. And then after that, usually in June, after OTAs, I'll take another trip. And every time, man, it's been a blast.
You, how would you describe this last year for you in terms of football?
Man, a very interesting one, but I had so much fun this year. It was different because, you know, this is the first year, you know, I wasn't technically signed to anybody until, you know, right before training. I mean, actually, right when training camp got started, I wasn't mad not going through two OTAs. You know what I'm saying? I got a little free time. but, you know, when you're sitting there and you sort of have to, you know, think of, you know, life after football and stuff like that, and you're not sure, and then you get a call and, you know, I was so blessed because it all worked out. You know, I was able to play for the Indianapolis Colts for year eight, and they're such a great organization that I really, really, truly love them. But it was such an amazing year for me to be year seven, man. I feel like, I mean, we were talking before that. I feel like just not too long ago, man, you know, in high school, I was talking to you, and now I'm going into year eight in the NFL. So it has been a ride, but this past year was one of my funnest, honestly, that I've had to be able to help and help the young guys. Say, I mean, it's just, it was just an awesome culmination of coaches, players, and for myself, just really being able to like give back to this game, what it's given to me.
Indianapolis is an interesting market, Brett, because they are so loyal, and you have an amazing facility to play in. You had Carson Wentz there.
Awesome guy.
Being around him, what was that like for you?
Carson was amazing. You know, a very studious guy. I knew what he was doing at all times. You know, and it was, it's interesting to me because, you know, being around Aaron, being around Kyler, being around Russ, Carson is a really good quarterback. And, you know, the detail he took to studying the game plan, knowing what he has to do and trying to execute at his best. You know, he's just an awesome guy to be around. Good locker mate and a good guy to, you know, have in the quarterback room.
I'm curious, as you're over there doing your travels, did you get to see the Super Bowl?
Okay. So look here, y'all. I want to put this out there. It came on at 12:30 out here in the morning.
In the morning.
12:30 in the morning. So I made it up till 12 and then I fell asleep. Then I fell asleep and I had to wake up to hear in that LA won it. So, and that's twice this happened to me. When Kansas City won it, I was actually hiking Rainbow Mountain. For everybody who doesn't know, look up Rainbow Mountain in Peru. It is one of the most excruciating hikes of all time. Like, I threw up and everything, but I was hiking that mountain and listening to the game because I'm 6 hours ahead over here. It's 6:43.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you been hearing about Kyler and the Cardinals and him scrubbing his social media and him being upset? And him responding with, all this nonsense is not what I'm about. I play this game for the love of it. Have you been doing that? You were in the locker room. What do you make out of that from over in Madrid? What do you make
of it? Yeah, man. I actually was just reading up on that today, and I'd sort of seen some stuff that came out. And you know, being around Kyler for 2 years, awesome, awesome, you know, player. And I think he does a lot of good things. And so it's just interesting to hear all this stuff. And I mean, it's crazy because, you know, you delete some pictures on Instagram and then, people come up with their own stories, but, do you know, I don't know, I guess it's just, we'll see what happens. I'm interested myself, you know, like, what's going on in there?
Did you see any of this when you were there with him?
You know, when I was there, it was Kyler's first and second year. So a lot of it was him growing up and not even growing up, but just, you know, it's a big position when you get number one pick and you come into an organization that really puts the world on your shoulders, you know, and that's for all number one picks. I mean, you're expected to come out and, you know, Joe Burrow, and lead him to a Super Bowl right away. But, you know, and Kyler's done a great job. You know, he's made a Pro Bowl. He's started off 10-2. But you know, it's just a interesting sort of story that I'm reading on, especially with Kyler. So, you know, when I was there with him, I think he did what he needed to do. You know, he was learning, and that's, you know, that's what any year one, year two quarterback is going to be. So I'm interested to see sort of how they want him to develop or what way they want him to develop and how he's going to, you know, respond to that.
I'm curious about you. So you're in this space about ball caps and clipboards right now. You're always one heartbeat away. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good living if you can do it, right?
I mean, it is. I'm gonna keep playing until the wheels fall off. So,
I mean, do you think you'll be back with Indianapolis?
I think possibly, but you know, at this point in my career, it's just, you know, wherever I can play or wherever the best opportunity is. You know, I love Indianapolis. I think Ed, the GM, I mean, everybody was so cool. Frank, and I would love to be back there. You know, I wouldn't bat an eye to go back. But, you know, it really all just depends on the opportunity and what feels right.
It's kind of like Colt McCoy where you are now, Brett, from my
– Man, I'm telling you, yeah. And Colt's, I mean, he's been in the league for quite some time. Yeah. Hasn't gotten hit that much either. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, you know?
But from a competitive standpoint, mm-hmm. you look at it and say, I just want to get on the field and be the guy, but yep. I'm also very comfortable being a good teammate to the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a I think that's the hard thing to get. It took me a while to understand the difference of still having the competitive edge, but also still understanding like what I'm here for and trying to help, you know, and especially where I'm at now at my age in the NFL, you know, help these young guys and show them some things that they can learn from. But the hard part is, you know, the fire still burns. And, you know, so you see stuff and you're like, man, I know I could have won that game. I know I could have been better, you know, and that's the struggle. And I still struggle with it. I mean, it's, I don't play football not to play, you know. Right. It's amazing to, you know, obviously be in the position I'm in, and there's plenty of people who would love to be in the position, but I don't play football for that reason. You know, I don't play football to sit there and watch. And I mean, I love cheering on my teammates, but I would love to cheer them on after I throw them a pass and say good catch, you know,
sure.
rather than, you know, so.
It's like I had Bryce Perkins on last week. He's a Super Bowl champion now.
He was man, crazy.
Right. Like, that's somebody you know from Chandler.
Yeah.
And here he is now. He's going to have the hardware for the rest of his life. And it didn't matter yep. that he wasn't on the field.
Yep. And he learned one from one of my favorite quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford. I mean, those new no look passes were off the chain. But two, not only that, but just like what you said, I mean, there's a lot of playoff money that goes into that too. So sure. good for him. But that Super Bowl ring means the world. I mean, you got to think people work their whole lives to get to that moment. Right. And, you know, to win the Super Bowl is a childhood dream. So to be able to have a ring at the end of it and say, you know, I won the Super Bowl. I was a part of this. I'm sure it means the world to him. And I'm going to ask him if I could borrow the ring for a little bit just to show it off maybe to my friends.
He'll be at the Chandler Wolf golf tournament with you and a cart, and I'll have to come
yeah.
take the ring and drive it around or something.
I'll probably be wearing it.
Brett Hundley with us. He's in Madrid. His event is March 13th at 9 a.m., supporting the Hundley Foundation. Lace him up for Epilepsy Walk. That is on March 13th at 9 a.m. Where are your travels next?
This is it. This is the last of my stops, and I'm heading back to Arizona, actually, in two days. So right. this is the end of my travels, and I'm heading back, and I probably won't get out of here again until probably like June, July.
Yeah, and you don't know where next is. You don't, like, people plan 6 months in advance on these deals. You don't. So,
no, I legit planned this whole trip probably 2 days before it.
So that is no, so no cool. joke. So do you ever just like go to the airport and say, you know what? I've never been to, I'm going there. I'm going to.
You know what I do? I got, it was me, Kenny Young, and Damian Wilson. Kenny plays for the Broncos, Damian for the Jaguars. And we had all took a trip to Barcelona. And the first day I got in, I went to Lisbon. Actually, that's the other place I'm forgetting about. Lisbon, Portugal. I got there. And once I got to Barcelona, the first day I booked. That is when I booked the rest of my travels for the rest of the trip. I had no idea where I was going, where I was staying. I didn't have a hotel or flight booked. I just said, all right, I'm going to book the rest of this stuff. And I go to Skyscanner. Skyscanner, if you're watching, man, reach out to me. But I'm telling you, you can just figure out where the cheapest country is to go next. And that's where I go.
Have you ever had to sleep on the street?
Not yet. I've probably come close. Yeah. I think I've probably played my, I probably come close, you know, for sure. But I've never slept on the street. I've hostels for sure, but street, no, not yet.
Airport,
yes, for sure. In this travel life, you'll learn to sleep at two in the airport.
All right,
but you know what I'm saying. If you got a nice neck pillow, you could do it. You kick your feet up. You could be anywhere. You know, home is where you make it. Yeah, yeah,
just
man.
Just don't eat the goofy stuff.
Yeah, man, always.
It is great to see you and catch up. And as you said, we've been doing this. You weren't traveling around as a dopey little kid at Chandler High School. but you know, we've been doing this a long time. So it's good to see you still smiling, yeah, having fun through all of it. And good luck with the event. Thanks.
Man, thank you so much for having me again. Like always, brother. Appreciate you.
There is Brett Hundley, and he's somewhere around this world. And he's in Madrid tonight. today, this morning. See you later. We're back with more after this timeout.